If you will open your Bibles and turn them to, I spelled that wrong in my notes, but that's all right. I know where it is. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to start reading in verse 37 and read 37 through 40. It's a set of verses that we talk about all the time. And oh, by the way, there are some folks that, starting tonight, we're making our webcast private. And those that got an email are able to watch it. Those I try to text it to are not able to watch it, and I'll have to figure out how to straighten that out. So we have several people that are able to watch it, and a few people that are not tonight, but that's all right. We'll fix it for Sunday. Okay, Matthew 22:37, it reads, Christ is talking here. Christ has asked a question, and he said to him, and that was Christ as the he, he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. We need to understand what Christ was quoting there. He is quoting two Old Testament passages. One from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You see here, okay. And the other scripture he quoted was from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbors yourself. I am the Lord. I'd like us think tonight about showing reverence to God, showing proper reverence to God. The last couple weeks we have had Albert, last week was Zach, and this week of myself, talk about various aspects of reverence towards God. Reverence to God in our worship. And I'd like us to really think about that and focus on that aspect tonight. Are we revering God the way we should? Are we doing the things that are reverent to God when we come here? Our stated purpose on Sunday is clearly to worship God. Even on Wednesday night, although we call it Wednesday night Bible study, we're here in a worship assembly. We have a devotional. We sing songs of praises. We have prayers. We'll look at that aspect of it. If you'll turn over in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, the text on the screen is from the New American Standard. You may have other translations, but let's read it and look at it because there's several points I'd like to make out of this text here. And think. It says, now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? If you notice, this verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 10 is very similar to chapter 6, verse 4, and very similar to what Christ quoted in the Old Testament, in the New Testament here. Notice, and it says, and to keep the Lord's commandments and statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all the people, as it is this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and he shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him. You shall swear by his name. He is your praise. He is your God who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all, and now the Lord your God has made you numerous as the stars of heaven. Now let's look at what God is telling the nation of Israel in this passage here. As Moses gives it from what God had told him. He states in verses 14 and 17 who he is. Notice verse 14. He says, behold, to the Lord your God belong the heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. In other words, all of creation belongs to God. Everything. And notice verse 17. It says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality or take a bribe. Our God is the God of gods. No matter what man is created, God is the true God, the one and only God. And he tells them that. Notice in verses 15 and 16, he tells also, he reminds them of what he has done for them. And he does that elsewhere in this passage. But in 15 and 16, let's look at that. It says, yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them. And he chose their descendants after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. So circumcise your heart, stiffen your neck no longer. He wants them to soften themselves, to cut away the blinders, if you please, from their eyes, to obey and seek him in all that they do. He talks about his strength in verse 17. It says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality or take a bribe. He is the awesome God, the fearful God. We're to fear this God. And we're going to look at what this word fear in the Old Testament and the New Testament means, because it'll affect us. It should affect us. He also talks about his acts in verses 17 through 19. He says in the last part of verse 17, he says he is the awesome God who does not show partiality or take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you are aliens in the land of Egypt. He's telling them what they need to and must do. Their reverence to God. If you open your Bibles and turn your Bibles over to the end of the New Testament, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, it gives us some comment here. Peter tells the church, he tells Christians, he says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We are to fear God. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, if you want to look at those, said, this is the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We need to fear God. Now let's look at and consider that word fear. I'll put that on the screen. The word fear. The Greek word here is a word phobos. And it's from where we get our English word phobia. It has that idea. Phobia is a fear, as we know. The word fear means to be afraid, to fear, to reverence, to venerate, to treat with deference or reverential obedience. Notice that this word fear literally has the implication of fear. We need to fear God. Not in the sense that we tremble and are afraid of him, but this idea of reverence brings this idea of fear. Idea of fear should go along with it. What are the consequences of disobeying our God? The consequences are those of heaven and hell. Will we go to heaven by obeying God, or will we go to hell by disobeying him? The punishment of hell is horrific. Notice the Hebrew word, yare. It's also to fear, to morally to revere, causatively to frighten. So this idea of being frightened of God, to be fearful of God, is built into this idea of reverencing God. If we're going to reverence God, we need to have the proper attitude. In Psalm 111, verse 10, says the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. This idea of fear that we have, this idea of terror of God, this idea of reverence towards God are all tied together. This is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. But we're not to be timid or afraid in that sense. Turn over to 2 Timothy. If we compare in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, notice what it says there. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. We're not to be timid or afraid in the sense of timid towards God, but we're to reverence him. We're to love him. We need to hold him up. Also, if we turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, excuse me, verse 28, Hebrews 12, 28, it says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Yes, that last part should cause us to, even as Felix did, literally shake if we're not obeying him. The terror that we should have of our God, if we don't serve him, if we don't revere him as we should, is something that should cause us to shake, because God is a consuming fire. But notice what it says in the way the translators put it in this. We need to reverence God. We need to view him with awe. Can any of us bring fire down from heaven right now? Could any of us literally snap a pew into existence? Could any of us cause disease to go away, to raise somebody from the dead? That's what Christ did, many of these things. God can do all those things. But since we do not have that power, it gives us reason why we should fear God. We need to reverence God. We need to approach God with awe, with wonder of his great power, of what he's done for us. We need to express the reverence, and we need the proper reverence we should have towards God. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, we find Moses approaching the burning bush, and it reads in the following way, verses 4 through 6. And when Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see, this is referring to Moses again, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses was literally terrified of that God. He recognized the awesome power, the awesome majesty of that God. But God asked Moses to do something. Moses had to obey God. Not only turn around and look at the burning bush, but he had to obey God, and that he had to take off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. What would happen if Moses said, Nah, I don't know how to take off my shoes. It's just dirt down there. I'll get my feet all dirty. God would not have treated him quite the way he did there. He would have disobeyed God. And yes, to be afraid to look upon God, Moses would have had fear for disobeying God. The same idea of taking off the shoes for holy ground is brought out in Joshua 5, chapter 5, verse 5. And it says, And the prince of Jehovah's host said unto Joshua, this is the prince of Jehovah's host there. He said unto Joshua, Put off thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua obeyed God as Moses did, and respected the fact that he was standing on holy ground. I want us to remember that. They both obeyed. They did something there. They respected God, because we need to think about how we express our reverence to God. Do we reverence God as we should each day of the week and each first day of the week as we come together, and Wednesday nights as we come together? We've read this scripture many times. We've looked at it. John chapter 4, verse 24. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We've talked about that many times. Obed's talked about it. Others have talked about that. We need to bow our spirits down before God, and we need to obey him by worshiping in truth. We need to serve him the way we should. Let's look at the next slide here, because we can look at a little idea of this word worship. Because this is what we need to think about, our worship towards God. What is our worship? I recognize that not everything we do is worship, but when we have gathered together here, it's clearly we've come together to offer our worship to God. Worship from Webster's, the fourth definition, there are several definitions, but the one that applies here is the act of paying divine honors to the supreme being. Religious reverence and homage, adoration, or acts of reverence paid to God are being viewed as God. So this is the reverence we ought for God. We need to give divine honors. Divine honors are honors way above anything any man would expect. Divine honors are honors of to our Lord, our God, to Jehovah. If we look also at the Greek word for that, proskuneo, the meaning literally comes from to kiss. It's like, and the image it brings up is like a dog licking the master's hand. For those of us who have pets, cats, dogs, if we've been away from a while, frequently those pets come up and greet us. They're happy to see us. When we give them food, they're very happy. This is the idea. I have a little dog, a little part chihuahua, part something else. I don't know what it is. We found her. But she'll come up and lick my hand. She'll come up and lick Mary's hand. She wants our attention. She loves our attention. This is the idea of what our worship should be towards God. Not that we're a little dog. We're an intelligent creature. But we should love and reverence our God in that same manner. We're willing to be subservient to him. If we look over in scriptures in the Oriental times, people frequently bowed down, literally, and this is the way they showed worship. They bowed down. Worship is something I want to just note. It's something that's directed. Let's look at the next slide here. It's a note. Worship is directed from the worshiper towards God. It's not, in other words, it's something that we do that we offer to God. It's not anything that God does for us. When we come to worship, we're coming to offer God our respect and our adoration, our love. There's no mention of us getting anything out of it. We don't come to worship to thrill us. I have heard people talk about this or that thrills me so much in worship. Show me where the scriptures tell me that I come to get thrilled. I come to offer worship to God. In other words, I'm giving something of me to God. I'm to show the humility, the homage to God that I should. It's my adoration of him. Okay, as the next last point here, we don't come to worship to expect that we'll get anything out of it. We are to recognize God's sovereignty. We're to bow down to him. Now, if I properly worship God, that doesn't mean I won't have a good feeling. If I'm obeying God and worshiping him in the way I should, I'll have known that I've done something I should, just like my little dog. When it comes up and licks my hand and I pet it around the head, she's happy. We should be happy when we have offered to God what we need to, what we should. We've shown God our love. We look at various acts of worship. Worship in heaven. Turn your Bibles, open them in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, let's go there, verse 17 of chapter 1, because it shows John, worship by John, given to Christ. And it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last. How was John offering worship to God? He was willing to fall down at God's feet. Now, I recognize that we don't have a king or queen in this country, and so we're not used to giving homage the way one would give to a king or a queen. But spiritually, this is what we should be willing to do. We are coming to gather together to offer our worship to God. Turn over to chapter 5 of that same book. Chapter 5, verse 14. And it talks about the elders and how they worshiped. And notice what it says there. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. The elders were in heaven. What did they do? They fell down at God's feet. They offered their worship to him by falling down to him. To showing God they were truly humble. They were truly loving of him. A couple chapters later, chapter 7 of Revelation. We look over in verse 11 of chapter 7. It says, and angels were standing round about the throne and about the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. In other words, these other additional group, and we find a common thread in each one of these. What do? They all fell down on their faces before God. They bowed themselves. They showed their humility. They showed the honor to God. They showed their love and reverence. Along with that, that worship is only to be directed towards God and not men. If we turn over in chapter 9, verse 10, 19, verse 10, and 22, verses 8 through 9, we find that John actually fell down at the feet of an angel to offer that angel worship. And what did the angel tell him? Stand up, don't do it. Only God is worthy of worship. So we need to understand this attitude of worship, this attitude of the, if you please, almost a little dog licking your hand, this willingness to fall down spiritually and reverence God, to give him and show him our love, our humility, our adoration, our thanks for what he's done, is something that is only due God and not due man. The question I want to ask every one of us tonight is, are we giving God the reverence and respect that is his due? I can't judge anybody's hearts. I don't know what's in any of your hearts. I hope every one of us are doing that. But if not, it's worth us thinking about it. It's worth examining how we prepare ourselves when we come here on Sunday. And yes, prepare ourselves. That's what we need to be doing. If the song leader didn't prepare himself, what would happen? Well, we might have any old tune sung, and probably off key, and we don't know what the words would be, because the song leader, to be ready for Sunday, has to look to the songbook, find songs that fit the message that the song leader would like to give. He also needs to make sure he selected songs that hit the range of his voice. There are songs that he knows, so that when he leads, he can do a good job for us. I hope those that are assigned prayer are thinking ahead of time, are preparing themselves to pray to God, to offer God that reverence, that love. Obed, what do you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? You get ready for the lesson you're going to give. You prepare it, because if you don't give the lesson with your best effort, what is God going to think? If you teach error, what's God going to do? God's not going to respect that. And it's showing our selfish pride if we're not preparing ourselves. We as individuals, before we come on Sunday, we need to be preparing ourselves. Have we thought about what we're going to do, what we're going to wear, how we're going to show ourselves here? We need to think about that, because it's how we show respect and reverence. Let me show you another slide here. I hope you can see that slide. That's a slide outside a bank teller from about the 1960s. And what do you notice in commonality there? Well, the men, one man has a suit on. The other man at the end of the line, if you look carefully, clearly has a tie on. The women, how are they attired? They're attired in very nice dresses. I'm not saying that this is the way that we need to worship, but if we look at, if you go in a bank today and look at the way people stand in line and the way they were in the 60s, it's clearly in society we've allowed our standards to go down. I'm not trying to say which is the right standard in public, in society, but it's different today than it was in the 60s. And we find that we all make excuses for ourselves and various things because we try to move in society today and accept the norms of society. We need to show respect. We need to show respect for God. Now, if we show respect for man, where's the one spot that we all have to show respect for God, for man? Well, one of the places is a courtroom. There's a standard of decorum that we all have to, if we're going to go in a courtroom, that we're supposed to show. Our previous district attorney, not the existing one, but the previous one, got in trouble with the courts. He tried to have casual Friday so his attorneys could wear casual attire. And guess what? The judges were throwing his attorneys out of court because they were showing up in court in blue jeans, which is not acceptable attire, by the way. Let's look at this. This slide right here is courtroom decorum. This is a decorum request expected of all people as they come into the Bexar County courthouse. If you go in there, you're expected to show up in business attire. It says business attire is appropriate dress for jury duty. Preferred dress for male jurors is coat, tie, and slacks, or dress slacks and a dress shirt. No shorts or t-shirts. A collared shirt is acceptable for men, and female jurors wear dresses or slacks, skirts, and blouse. Jeans are not considered appropriate attire for jury duty. So if you're going to show up for jury duty, you need to have a certain standard attire. It says rise when addressing or being addressed by the judge. No tobacco in any form at any time. No electronic cigarettes of any kind, i.e. vapor, e-cigarettes, smokeless tobacco, etc. No propping of feet on tables and or chairs. No bottles, beverage containers, paper cups, or food shall be brought into the courtroom. No gum chewing, reading newspapers and magazines, except as part of evidence in a case. Cell phones, iPads, laptops are permitted in the building. However, they must remain off, muted, and put away. I also, from the web, got the standard of the standards, the courtroom decorum for Slidell, Louisiana, which was kind of interesting. Just why I picked Slidell, it's just one that came up in a search. Because this is not unique to any of these, and theirs is not. They make this comment, as a general rule, you should think of the courtroom as a formal environment. Dress as you would when going to an important job review or to church. Now, I don't like their use of the way of church, but we as a church individual, you're coming to the church building, as we gather together for worship, we should be holding God to a higher standard than ourselves. I'm not trying to say that you have to wear a suit and tie to be in worship. You don't. But if we can afford it, what should we be presenting ourselves when we come together? What should we be thinking about? And by the way, in Slidell courthouse, they talk about things that are not acceptable for attire to come to worship, or to come to the court. You know what's the number one thing they put down there? Shorts. And then they say hats for men or hair curlers for women. Those are not acceptable. Halter or tube top. And then the next thing is a t-shirt or muscle shirt. In other words, these are not, none of those are acceptable attire. We need to think. If that's all we have, then we need to make it the best we can and present ourselves the best we can. But if we have better, we need to be planning ahead and making sure we're showing proper reverence to our God. That courtroom decorum is the minimum, and it should be a minimum standard for our godly reverence. In other words, we're putting God first, we're putting God on the pedestal, and we're trying to show God our worship of him. Notice Psalm 89, verse 5. Notice what the psalmist writes here. Psalm 89, verse 5. I'll give everybody a chance to get to there, and we'll look at this. It says, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Jehovah, thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared unto Jehovah? Who among the sons of the mighty is like unto Jehovah, a God very terrible in the council of the holy ones, and to be feared above all them that are round about him? O Jehovah, God of hosts, who is a mighty one like unto thee, O Jehovah? And thy faithfulness is round about thee. Thou ruleth the pride of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stilleth them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with the arm of thy strength." This reverence, this recognition of the power of God. Psalm 117, verse 7 says, "The works of his hand are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are established forever and ever. They are done in love and uprightness. He has sent redemption in his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name." One of the reasons why we have stopped making the webcast public, and those that didn't get it tonight, I'll make sure that they can get it for Sunday. But those, it's because we need to be coming to God, worship him with the proper attitude. We need to respect him and reverence him. We need to reverence God through worshiping him in spirit and truth. John 4:23, we read 4:24, but it says, the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers, notice this qualifies it, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such does the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, we must worship God by obeying him and how we worship. And equally, we must have our spirits attuned to offering him our complete adoration. Men, women, you're dating. I'll move some of us that are older back a few years. We're dating what is now the apple of our eye. We show up at her door, or she shows up at the door to greet him. And we look like we're just down and out. We got some sloppiest, dirty clothes on. Have we shown reverence or respect for that person? No. Yep. And what will happen very quickly? Well, if the guy shows up like that, he's liable to get the door slammed in his face. And if she shows up to the door like that, he's liable to leave and decide that was not the apple of his eye anymore. God is a spirit. Spiritually, we must bow down and fall down to the ground to show God the respect that is due him spiritually. That also means that we will show ourselves, present ourselves in a fashion that is suitable to honoring God. We can dishonor God by worshiping with hypocrisy and traditions of men. In Matthew 15:7, Christ condemned the nation of Israel, says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching their doctrines the precepts of men. They were, Christ and his followers, being chastised because they had not washed their hands. Not that the Bible talked about washing hands, but it's because Israel had made washing the hands equal to God's law when it wasn't that. Authorized worship from the heart shows reverence for God. So worship means that we should be paying divine honors to a supreme being. Religious reverence, homage, adoration, or acts of reverence paid to God or being viewed as God. God with idols in their worship joint, as Milton said. We need to make some changes around here. There's some things I'm proposing. No, not proposing. There's some things that we're going to expect. In addition to all the other changes, we're asking in the future, no food or drink in this auditorium. The courts respect that. We all should be able to find our beverage of choice before we come here. Now, if somebody has a real health issue, that's another one thing. But for 99% of us that don't have health issues, we should show up ready to worship, and we should not be needing to take a sip out of a sippy bottle during worship. Sorry. We need to take that. We need to stay off our cell phones. That's both talking and texting. In other words, we should be willing to put our cell phone in the off position when we come into worship. If we'd all do that, we wouldn't have any beeping waking us up. If we do that, we wouldn't have any temptation of it buzzing and somebody texting us and we want to respond. We came to focus on worshiping God. We need to keep God first and foremost, not what that text message that's in my pocket here going on. We need to do that. And we need to consider our attire. Are we presenting ourselves in the way that we would want to be seen as coming in front of the master of the universe? This is the creator of all things. I'm not trying to say what attire is acceptable or not, but I am saying that we need to make sure that within our being, within our means, the attire that we show up here should be that of me willing to stand in front of the God of the universe. Can I stand in front of a judge in the court of law in that attire? If the answer to that's no, then we may need to want to think about ourselves. All these things are nothing more than the minimum attire, a minimum decorum, like this talks about, minimum courtroom decorum. We need to make sure that we come to worship. This is not being lazy so I can turn on my TV and just watch a webcast and I sit back and half asleep. This says that I came to learn a lesson. And oh, by the way, when the scripture's read, when the Bible's preached, realize that preacher is giving us the word of the master of the universe. If I ignore the judge when I go in that court, what's going to happen? Well, I can tell you what Slidell says. Let me pull out the notes here. This is kind of interesting. They warn you that if you show up in court, it says you will not be allowed to enter courtroom wearing the following inappropriate clothing. And there's a list of that, shorts and other things. It says this may result in an arrest warrant for failure to appear or default of your civil case. In other words, if you show up in this list of inappropriate attire, they're going to arrest you. You turn your phone on and they catch you with your phone, they're going to take your phone. And oh, by the way, it says cell phones and smart devices are not allowed in the courtroom. You may not also bring other electronic devices, and it goes in there. It says if you bring your phone or electronic device in the courthouse, any phones or electronic devices will be immediately seized by the marshal or deputy and shall only be released upon payment of contempt charge. In other words, if you bring a phone into there, you're going to be charged with contempt. Now, I need to ask us, are we willing to stand up here and say we deserve contempt charges in front of God, or we're reverencing God? I'm not trying to make anybody mad tonight, but I'm trying to get us, each of us individually, to think about our behaviors. Are we coming lax or not? Now, there's one exception to the drink rule. One exception is Obed when he's up preaching. There are times that when you're speaking, you need that water to help keep your voice going. So he's allowed to have that bottle of water up on the podium. But the rest of us, come on. Are you telling me you can't go 60 minutes without drinking water? Without your little sippy cup? Are you trying to tell me you can't go 60 minutes without going to the restroom? I realize some of us, particularly as we get older, may have physical limitations. There are problems. That's a whole different thing. But for those of us that are younger, we can plan those acts. Let's come with an attitude of reverence. Let's come with our minds prepared. Let's make sure that we're showing to those around us, and in particular to the God of the universe, that we love him, that we adore him, and that we're willing to fall at his feet and reverence him the way he should be reverenced. That we're willing to show him the reverence that we should. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we truly humbly come before thee. We love thee. We appreciate all that thou hast done for us. In particular, we thank thee for thy son, his sacrifice on that cross. We pray for each and every one of us that we will hold his sacrifice first and foremost in our minds, knowing that we can receive forgiveness of our sins from him, through him, from thee. Bless our efforts. We pray that our worship may always be worthy unto thee, that we'll serve thee as we should. Bless us in our efforts. In Jesus' name, amen.